This is Dr. Robert Abley shining a spotlight on freedom, which you can also hear on my website, spotlightonfreedom.com. Last week, we reviewed the main tenets of Noam Chomsky's radical political theory, based as it is on a conception of human nature as creative and on a premise of universal and equipollent principles of liberty and equality. Today, we aim to examine those premises. First, Chomsky makes the claim that full freedom requires institutions run by the people themselves. Therefore, humans cannot be fully free in the traditional liberal societies, such as the United States, because of the constraints of socio-political institutions beyond their own directly run ones. But classical liberalism is well aware of the oppressive nature of institutions, which is why liberals work within the institution to try to keep it in check. The traditional liberal belief is that centralized forms of power are in better positions to protect human and civil rights nationally. Chomsky just disagrees. Second, Chomsky argues that only local institutions, run by the local people themselves, will allow full human freedom. He argues that such institutions won't themselves become oppressive by maintaining that such governing positions will be part-time affairs, and that office holders would rotate in and out of office. What he ignores is that concentrated power is still a product of local politics, and that power is almost always conjoined with wealthy groups. So even if it is less totalizing in form, it is still a problem. Third, Chomsky predicates his political philosophy on an understanding of human nature. However, historically, every such definition has been used to justify the interests of those defining it. Chomsky uses the terms creative and free to define human nature, and this just happens to underpin his political preference for anarcho-syndicalism. Thus, the definition of human nature is a function of the ethical values that produce it. One desires human creativity and freedom to be protected, so one makes it a part of human nature, and simultaneously opts for a political option that espouses that dogma. That it is a dogma, Chomsky himself admits, stating that his foundation is based on a hope about human nature. While these are certainly problems in Chomsky's political theory, there are some clear advantages to his arguing from his position. First of all, Chomsky's underlying attitude is a deep suspicion of elitism in all its forms, and that is not only what gives his articles and books their somewhat sardonic bite, but is in fact his main concern. It is all about abuse of power. He sees capitalism leading inexorably to fascism, as does Karl Marx. Second, what Chomsky tries to do by his advocating libertarian socialism is to keep the primary values of liberty and equality on the same level playing field. Not only that, but classical liberals support the free market system as part of their liberalism. By stepping outside the liberal boundaries, he can present an anti-capitalist system as part of a fully democratic one. It is the base of the strongest critique that can be made of institutional structures because it is done from completely outside the institution, whereas liberals work from within democratic institutional structures and within the capitalistic system. In contrast to Chomsky, contemporary liberals still advocate that more centralized institutional arrangements, ones that protect individual liberties nationwide, are superior and more realistic. We will examine their arguments next week. Robert Abley, SpotlightOnFreedom.com.